Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Are you rethinking at all the idea that you don't need a guy in the ninth?
No. I mean, we feel that we've done an outstanding job so far, so nothing's going to change right now.
Dale Arnold.
Oh, Cliffy and Mackie and Carly and Murchie all fired Welle musket balls into our backside.
Right on the butt cheek.
Rich Keith.
His pupils were pretty big. You know, he's on something.
Hey. Cocaine is a powerful drug.
Dale and Keith.
You don't want your wife to sleep with anybody, but
nobody.
If she sleeps with Brady and gets pregnant with his baby, you're okay with it.
Yeah, it's Tom Brady's kid.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Falls under the category of, I'm not sure I would have shared that.
You don't think you'd be set for life,
I mean,
Dale?
You,
set for life!
You have an imminently pregnant wife sitting at home, probably
She's
listening
for sure.
to the show every minute.
Every second.
Thinking,
and then she podcasts
what's
it.
What's little Richie going to say about us today?
She takes notes. She critiques the performance every day.
Just
let me know.
Just an experience factor here in that they're a little touchy right now.
She's not listening. It's fine.
Are you
it's
sure?
Fine. He's saying whatever
she
I want.
She could be listening to everybody.
Yes.
No, actually, it's worse, because what happens is they don't listen, but somebody tells them.
Oh, no, see, I don't need that.
And it always
that's even worse.
Big game of telephone.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear what Rich said about you today?
Uh-huh. But I think she would actually be more for it than even I would.
Oh, which, yeah.
The millions of dollars, I think she'd be on board for, yes. For one faithful night. I mean, that happened, it split up Demi Moore and Woody Harrelson. You know, spoiler alert a little bit on that, but yeah, that was tough.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was going to watch that.
That
I had it on my...
Let's just say Robert Redford.
Eesh. I had it on my spool this weekend.
It's a good film.
Seemed like a nice night at the ballpark last night, too.
Miserable. Just miserable. And we were looking at it all day. We're saying, this is not going to work out. And then they started. They started right on time.
I'll tell you what I think one of their concerns... I heard Jerry talking about this earlier, and you know, in a perfect world, sure, they'd love to have called it off and not made people sit through that stuff. You've got two factors that they were dealing with. One is Cleveland doesn't come back to town after this trip, which means if you did rain out last night, you were going to have to try to play two today, but you had already moved the night game up to 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when would you have started the first game at noon or something?
12:10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think it's better than what the alternative was. Plus, the game goes so long. I mean, that was just a miserable, miserable night. And you're watching it even by the...
I don't know. The ninth inning was entertaining.
The ninth inning, there was some action there. There was some action that... But even by, like, the fifth, you're sitting there watching it on TV, and everybody had left. You know, the seats behind the plate are empty. Everybody's bailing
still
out
more
there.
Than
you can't
Tampa,
blame them.
But that's another
Way
topic.
More than Tampa. I feel like more than Toronto last week watching that game.
Yeah.
But still, this was just a gross night at the park and a terrible ending for the Red Sox.
We'll talk some about that a little bit later on in the program. We will begin, obviously, about Game 2 Stanley Cup Final tonight at the TD Garden. Numbers are always fun, don't necessarily mean anything, but they're informative.
No, they never lie, actually, is what I've heard.
Sometimes
numbers
they
never lie.
Do.
Well,
winner of Game 1 in the Stanley Cup Final, since they went to a best-of-seven format in 1939, there have been 79 of these. The winner of Game 1 has won the Cup 61 of 79 times.
Oh, my God. That's even more dramatic than I thought.
Yeah, 77.2%. And if you want to put pressure on tonight's game...
Yeah, I do.
The teams that have had a 2-0 lead...
Forget about it.
...have won 46 of 51 cups, 90.2%.
So basically 5 times ever a team has come back from 2-0 down, right? Like that's another way of looking at it. So yeah, this thing is... if they win tonight, I mean, I know it's, you know, just team taking care of home ice, so you can make that argument too, but I really... You know, one of the questions was, did we overreact to the Game 1 win? And I say absolutely not. I think going in, you knew Boston was better. They had the longer layoff, so you thought maybe the first period could be a little bit slower
for them.
And it was, but they were only down 1-0, and then they fought back from that. They were down 2-0 in the game, and then they ended up winning 4-2. So I think they're the better team, and I think this is going to be a short series.
New England sports fans always look for the worst possible scenario. And it goes back, we talked about Bill Buckner yesterday. It goes back to 86. And, you know, it's like we have lost in the worst, most gut-wrenching ways possible. So they all, you can go back to, yeah, 3-0 lead against the Flyers right. in a best of seven, a 3-0 lead in
Dave
game
Ruth.
Seven. I hadn't
remember
heard that one.
Yeah, brutal. Wow. Brutal trade. They lost that trade.
Did you get over it?
No. Oh. I still haven't because I know they've won recently, but think about how many they could have won.
It's
how many more they could have had.
So we always try to think of the worst possible scenario around here because then when you don't get it, you feel better about yourself.
Right.
And
it's a good way to look at things, isn't it?
And there are some people out there who are still trying to come up with a way to twist themselves around here that the Bruins, oh, no, this is far from over. And I know, Glenn. I heard Glenn yesterday.
It's one game.
And he's right. But did you see anything in game one that gave you pause?
No, I didn't. And it's funny because, again, you go to the Celtics-Bucks, which is the exhibit A of, hey, it's only one game. But
well, it is one game. You can't overreact to one game.
The difference between Bucks and Celtics was the team going in, you said, well, the Bucks were the top seed. The Bucks had the best player, and they lost game one. But they still had the best player, and they still had what, at least in the regular season, was the much better team. Whereas in this scenario, the Bruins were better in the regular season. I think they've been better in the playoffs, and then they win game one. So, like, what, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that is just more likely what you're going to see. And I'm trying to figure out ways in which St. Louis would bounce back. And to their credit, they bounced
they've
back.
Done it.
They did it against Dallas. They were down 3-2, and they were down 2-1 to San Jose. So they're able to do it there.
And they got waxed in game one against San Jose. Got beat pretty badly.
Yeah, they lost 6-3. And the difference, though, is the Bruins are a much better team than Dallas. The Bruins are a much better team and a much healthier team than San Jose. So I'm not. There's no quit in St. Louis, but they might just not have enough. And they're trying to figure out
see,
what
that's
scenarios.
That's what I feel. I
right?
feel
they're just not.
And they're going to work their ass off.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And their coach is hard-nosed, and they play hard-nosed. But ultimately, I think talent wins out.
Yes.
And I think that the Bruins are clearly the more talented team of these two.
Because what would have to happen, the Bruins just won a game where their top line were minus players. Their goalie, I guess, wasn't really tested, so it was hard to really
know. He wasn't
know,
bad.
Well,
he wasn't really tested. He said he didn't really have to do much.
And you needed, you know, you had defensemen and fourth liners scoring goals, and they won. And, oh, by the way, the Blues did a great job on the Bruins' power play, which had been the best in the playoffs going into that game. So they won, and they can win in so many different ways is one thing that the Bruins can do. And so if the reverse happens tonight, where let's say the fourth line doesn't look as sharp, but something tells me Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak, you're not going to be able to limit those guys for too long in the series. It was the same thing that Carolina was talking about when those guys were quiet early and Brendan Moore was like, man, I wish they were going. It's one thing when we lose and they're going well because then you could say, all right, if we could take these guys down, we're going to win. But that's not even the case. And then for St. Louis, what would be the formula for that? I mean, they got to shoot more. That's for sure.
Well, they didn't shoot because they didn't want to.
They didn't shoot
because the Bruins didn't let them.
No, they didn't let them. The defense was just too good, and maybe that was one of the big differences too. You know, San Jose, they have more of, you know, offensive minded defensemen, and actually, you know, some of those guys were hurt too. So it's just a different kind of challenge altogether that they had to face than Boston. And now I think they kind of got their game legs back, right? Like they sat out for so long, and now that advantage that St. Louis had going into the game is gone.
Yes.
So where do you turn now if you're the Blues?
It seems as though the Blues, and I'm sure they're looking at it this way too, they won't say it publicly, but they're saying, geez, we had a 2-0 lead in game one. We had a chance to grab home ice, and we just leaked it away.
Right. That was it. I mean, they had, 2-0 lead, and they were 10-3 this postseason when they scored first. And forget about when you scored.
They
the
were
first
7-2 on the road, and all those things.
And then I think their record. Somebody said even going back to the regular season when they go up 2-0, they were like some crazy record, like most teams would be when you're up 2-0, and then they just let it go. So they need Binnington to play out of his mind. That would be one of the things that they would need. And he's had some games like that in the postseason. What was it, game 6 or whatever? He had the shutout against, or maybe it was game 5 against San Jose. He had the shutout. So I guess he's capable of that. But also, you can't be playing with fire either. Like, some of the penalties that they took were dumb.
Yeah.
And then you're giving the Bruins the man advantage, and normally they were so good at it. So you can't do that. You got to stay out of the box.
But see, that goes back to their coach's personality, too.
Yeah,
Craig Berube was a tough, hard-nosed, in-your-face kind of player. Just take a look at that nose, and it'll tell you how he played the game.
Yeah, nice schnoz.
And in these playoffs, they have been that kind of team. San Jose Sharks claim that the St. Louis Blues literally took players out.
Do you believe that
players
at all?
Out. A couple of the hits, I think,
you think
were
on that line
pretty
there?
Close.
Okay.
You know, we were not even joking about it. We were talking about Jordan Binnington lining up David Backes for a well-placed elbow right to the middle of the face.
Yeah, that
a
was...
A guy with a concussion history.
I know.
You know, chances are real good that you land that the way he was trying to. You know what? I might just take this guy out of these next couple of games.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, they definitely were on that line. Although, I think we saw that in the last couple of series. You know, there were times, there was the one game where Carolina was just trying to hit everybody. They weren't even worried about the puck. They were just trying to go for big hits. Columbus, obviously, was a physical team. So, the Bruins have no problem playing that physical style. But the other thing that they can add on top of it is their speed. You know, and they're faster than St. Louis is, too. Tough to win a series when the other team is faster and more physical than you. And isn't that what we're kind of seeing here? Like, the St. Louis is sort of the Western Conference version of the Bruins, and yet the Western Conference this year was far inferior to the Eastern Conference.
Generally speaking, Cinderella stories come to an end that's not, you know, glass slipper-like.
Yeah, like George Mason making the Final Four, whatever it was.
And
you're
then,
like, that's great, then you're done. Or Butler, like, hey, that's amazing, Butler's in the final, but they lose.
And even in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the LA Kings did win the cup as an eighth seed, but most people would have said, well, they weren't a real eighth seed anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, they shouldn't have been an eighth seed, they should have been higher than that, but those things occasionally happen.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, though, what happens is the Cinderella story reaches a certain point, and it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, we got about as far as we could expect this to go. Carolina in the last series was a perfect example of that.
Yeah, no, Carolina definitely was. It was amazing that Carolina was able to get there, and then St. Louis. And it's hard to imagine a team facing a few of those. I mean, the Bruins really... Three different Cinderella teams, if you will. You know, Columbus takes out the best team in the regular season in Tampa Bay. So they face Columbus in the second round. Carolina takes out the defending champs, then sweeps the Islanders, and they get them. And St. Louis had a similar path because, you know, you look at some of the top teams out west, and they didn't have to face Nashville. They didn't have to face Calgary. And then when they did get San Jose, they were banged up. So they've kind of gone on this ride where, you know, they did beat Winnipeg in the first round, but then Dallas and San Jose, and here they are. And again, it's still amazing to think this was a team that was in last place in early January. They were dead last
in
the NHL.
And by the way, shouldn't have been.
They were more talented than that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's why they fired Mike Yeo and brought in Craig Berube.
Right, yeah.
Because they had underperformed. They shouldn't have been in last place. They made the coaching change. To their credit, Berube's credit, he makes the change to Binnington as well, and that made a huge difference.
Well, and Binnington kind of sums up where their team is at, too. Like, they've kind of come out of nowhere, and so has he. I mean, he's played 32 games or whatever it was this regular season, bounced around. He obviously has a crazy story, but he was so good. He had the best goals against in the regular season. Then he gets into the playoffs, and he's been the guy this entire time, but I think that also runs out. You know, now you're getting into what, your 20th playoff game or whatever it is. He's going to play almost as many playoff games as he did regular season games. He's going to be pretty close. And I think, you know, the Bruins are going to be able to beat him.
We mentioned this earlier in the playoffs that for some folks out there, they're already beginning the process of sticking an asterisk on this. They're saying, well, if the Bruins go on and win the cup, nobody's had an easier route to the cup than them. You know, they got to play Toronto, then they got to play Columbus, then they got to play Carolina. They didn't have to play Tampa Bay. They didn't have to play Washington. They didn't have to play San Jose or Winnipeg
or
Calgary.
It is kind of amazing, though. It really is. Like, I think a championship is a championship is a championship. But if you face one team that had a 100-point season on your way to the cup, and that team was in the first round, and they had exactly 100 points, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, we could go through the list. Task our research department on it. I can't imagine too many teams going to the cup facing teams that have been, you know, not division winners, not President Cup trophy, like all these, like this is as clear of a path as you will ever find. And I think it doesn't take away from them winning the cup. The one thing that it does is historically, when you go back and you're comparing all-time great teams, doesn't it carry a little bit more weight when you say, oh, they beat the 2011 Canucks, and take a look at what their stats were, take a look at what their record was.
The Canucks
was.
Were great.
They were.
We've mocked them since, but they were
no,
great.
No, yeah, and I mean, we were kind of mocking them at the time and everything else, but if you just look at how good their players were, and then, you know, even if you go back to the 13 Bruins they lost, they didn't lose to some slap team. They lost to the Blackhawks, who won three cups in like a six-year span or whatever. And even the Patriots teams, when you're comparing great Patriots teams, you're like, well, they beat the greatest show on turf. That's a that carries more weight than they beat Jake Delhomme. Right? Like, it just does. And it's not even their fault. It's just that's who they got to face. And so when you say, when we look back on
we don't put an asterisk on that Super Bowl victory over Carolina either.
And that's my point. There should not be an asterisk on this. There really shouldn't be. But when you're comparing teams historically and you say, oh, yeah, they beat the 2019 Blues. You're like, what? You're like, yeah, they had Binnington and Ned, who had never played until this year, and they were in last place in January. And their best player is Tarasenko, Petrangelo, Shen.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good. They're better than Carolina, but it's not, they didn't beat, you know, Kane and Taves, or they didn't beat, you know, Crosby on their way
Alex
to
Ovechkin
it, or Ovechkin on the way to it. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a little bit different. I mean, so I understand where people are coming from, but it doesn't not count. Like, you don't look back on it like, well, yeah, they won, but, like, you can't do that.
If you're a Bruins fan trying to think of the worst possible scenario, because that's what we do, what's the one thing that worries you going into tonight?
The ice surface. No, I mean, I don't.
Matt Grizzlick yelling at his father down beneath the stands.
Yeah, I mean,
come on, Dad, the ice sucks.
Honestly, it's to the point where, and maybe I'm just way too confident in the team, but it would be like multiple injuries. I'm not even kidding. Like, I think that's where it is for me. I just think that they are that much better than St. Louis. They've won, what is it, eight straight playoff games. I mean, they are so locked in right now.
Outscoring their opponents 32-11 over that eight-game streak.
And we sounded like, you know, cocky homers at the beginning of the playoffs, but when I asked, you know, what's their biggest weakness? And we were just like, I don't know. Not that they lead the league in every single stat, but the point is, like, what do they really need to improve on? All four lines can score. All six defensemen have their own, you know, strengths and weaknesses, but they're all pretty strong. The goalie was the best player in the playoffs. The power play was good. The penalty kill was good. Like, you're searching for things that just aren't there. Like, other teams you can point to and say, they don't have the depth. Or they don't have the speed. They don't have the high-end talent. Or they don't have the goaltending. Like
2011,
team,
we pointed to the power play.
Yeah, and they won in spite of it.
They cannot win with a power play that bad, and then they did.
Right, and they were able to do it, and it helped getting the kind of Tim Thomas performance they got in the final. But yeah, along the way, that team had more warts too, because you looked at it and you were saying, all right, if they really need a goal, or say that team was down by a couple of goals, I didn't have as much faith that they were going to be able to rip off three goals because they were more defensive-minded and they were really good at that. But if they found themselves down, whereas this team, they're down 2-0 early second period, you're like, all right, still in it.
Don't
like,
let us get the next one.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, okay, here we go. And then they made it 2-1, and you're like, all the confidence kind of, or all the momentum swung back in favor of the Bruins.
I get the sense, and this has been a season-long thing, as you point out, for this team. They are very resilient. In fact, there were times during the regular season we did the compare and contrast thing about, you know, how the Celtics have responded to adversity at times during the season.
It was not as strong.
Not the same.
Just to give you the Cliff's Notes version, it was not as good.
The bumper sticker version,
not as strong. No.
To how the Bruins have responded to adversity. By the way, injury adversity as well. They went they went a stretch of 16 games without Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah, it's amazing to look back and think about that. And then, you know, maybe their best goal scorer, David Pastrnak, missed a bunch of games.
Yep.
You know, Tuukka Rask early in the season took a personal leave, and he was kind of struggled at the very beginning of the year, and they went with two goaltenders for the most part, pretty balanced. And those guys were both really good. Yeah, a lot of players missed games due to injury, and yet they were right there. And you know, even going into the last week or so of the season, you weren't sure if they were going to have to start the playoffs on the road. Just because, again, the playoff format, they were one of the top four teams in the Eastern Conference, but they were going back and forth with Toronto. And it's also because of how they just disposed of Carolina and how they beat Columbus, you forget that this team was also down 3-2. And they were playing a game in Toronto with a chance to get bounced out of the playoffs. And we would have been talking about, all right, what kind of major changes are you going to make? Instead, we're going the other way, and you're saying, well, how long can they keep this thing going? And you want everybody to be back. It's like, what a difference a game makes.
In my attempt at groping to find something, how about a post-game one victory letdown?
Oh, could that happen?
You know, hey, look at this. Look how good we were. 18-3, shots on goal in the second period. And the problem with that, with my own scenario, is that they're so veteran leader laden.
Right.
Yeah, they've got Chara and Bergeron and Krejci and Backes, guys who have won, guys who have lost. My favorite pre-final quote, and it's not an exact quote, but it's in the ballpark.
Yes.
Brad Marchand said, "I think more about the final we lost than about the final we won."
Yeah.
"I think more about how bad I felt when we lost to the Chicago Blackhawks, and I never want to have that happen again."
Yeah, it's like a Tom Brady kind of mentality, isn't it? But yeah, it's funny because this team, they have a handful of guys that were on the 11 team that won. They were also on the 13 team that lost. But then they have a whole bunch of guys that weren't on either one of those teams and don't know what it's like. And I also think to prevent a letdown, you're at home and the place is going to be going crazy again. Because, by the way, this may be the last game they play at home all season. Again, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I feel that way. It could very well be the last game. It's going to be going crazy. And if there's any kind of time where they do have a little bit of a letdown, I don't think they will. Like, again, they're just rattling off all these wins. They know they have three more to get. I don't think that they will. But we also saw, like, if you go to game three against Carolina, Carolina knew that their season was on the line. They were going balls to the wall. They were playing. It looked harder than the Bruins were. But then you still got Tuukka there to bail you out. Like, Tuukka's played so well that even if St. Louis, who only had 20 shots last game, even if somehow, some way they put up 20 shots in the first period tonight, you got to feel like, all right, well, you got Tuukka there, and he's probably going to stop 19 of them, and then the Bruins are going to be right back in it.
Because even though he allowed, well, they allowed two goals on 21 shots or whatever it was on Monday, nobody but the most ardent Tuukka detractor was blaming him for those, right?
No, it was just a weird game because obviously you only faced 20 shots. One of them was the absolute terrible giveaway by Pastrnak that I don't even know if Tuukka knew that Shen had the puck to Tarasenko, then it was in the back of the net. So that one's tough. And then when you don't face that many shots, you know, your save percentage isn't as good. And you're like, oh, you only faced 20 shots. You allowed two goals. You're like, yeah, but he just was never even able to really get into a flow of the game because the defense was so good and St. Louis had no answers.
What worries Bruins fans on the morning of Game 2 tonight, Stanley Cup Final Game 2 tonight at the TD Garden. Here's what we got going today, and we've got some other things we'll discuss as the day goes on. We'll start with Bruins and the Stanley Cup Final. Wiggy is in here. It's Wednesdays with Wiggy. He'll come in at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, no celebrity basketball game this week, so
he's
in on Wednesday.
He hasn't gotten a better offer.
Have you confirmed, or is he skating with, like,
were texting back and forth all night because this whole Red Sox debacle of them playing through that rain.
Yeah.
And he will be here at 11.
11 o'clock.
Okay. So he's coming in at 11. He'll be here from 11 to 1.
Right.
Or as he says, 11 to 12:50 or something.
Well, I mean, there's a break schedule we have to adhere to. So 12:55, he will say goodbye.
At 1:30 today, we will talk with the voice of hockey in America. Mike Emmerich will join us at 1:30 today.
The doctor.
He'll be on the play-by-play tonight, obviously, and however many games are left in this thing.
Rossi's been dying for us to have him on the air. Every time we talk about guests, Rossi's like, what about Doc Emmerich? I'm like, all right, well, hold on, relax.
I think he's a great...
Every time we bring up anybody's name, he's like, well, what about Doc? Dale, have you reached out to Doc yet? What about Doc Emmerich?
A lot of people
get him on.
A lot of people are sharing my text messages on the air today just because I'm a big Doc Emmerich fan.
These aren't your text messages. I would never do that. I would never betray your confidence. No, but that's you every time we're in the office. Like, what about Doc? Every email I've ever gotten from you. What about Doc Emmerich? You lead every email. What about Doc Emmerich?
It's actually the subject. And I try to send it to him, too. I think he's the perfect pregame guest.
I can't. I'm looking forward to it.
He'll be with us at 1:30 today. We'll talk to Mike Emmerich at 1:30. Wiggy will be in here at 11. We'll see what worries Bruins fans. And it may be, by the way, that you're a Bruins fan is going to say, no, I'm not really
nothing.
Worried about
I don't know
much.
If there is anything. I would love to hear what it could be. Because trust me, I'll worry with the best of them, but I don't think there's anything to be worried about.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We will get into the calls with you in just a couple of minutes, but first.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We have to trend.
Well, I can only speak for myself, but I obviously we all admire Tom, what he's been able to accomplish, and Patriots, the whole organization, and he's been very successful in you know what he does and how he prepares himself, and he's true professional. He's obviously a great human being, and you know very smart and well spoken, and so I only have you know great experiences talking to him, and for sure I really admire him.
So he has had a chance to talk to him, because I know when I spoke to Zdeno in preparation for the book, we talked about Brady, because he had a real admiration. At the point he and I talked, and this was 2 years ago now, he hadn't met Brady yet, hadn't spoken to him. He had a real appreciation for the whole TB12 method. Chara has completely redone his diet and all of
Chara's
that.
Chara's ever eaten a strawberry?
Has, probably. Yeah. I don't know if he still does.
Are they bad for you? What's the deal there?
Sugar.
There's sugar in the strawberries, so that's
why. Yeah, it's natural
why,
sugar, but there's a lot of sugar in people that
but
are
but that's
the
main reason why Brady doesn't eat strawberries?
Maybe he just
sugar?
Doesn't like them.
Yeah, he must not.
Yeah, or he never had them. That's
he had like a non-ripe one probably back in the day. It was like, these are gross. You're like, well, they're not green, typically. You know, get a nice red strawberry, a nice juicy strawberry.
Oh, nothing better.
Nothing better. Nothing better, Rossi.
Watermelon. Better.
Yeah, watermelon is better. All right, I'll give you that.
I don't like watermelon.
Really? Yeah. Damn.
Not a fan.
Have you ever had a watermelon?
Yes, of course I've had watermelon.
No, you're thinking of cantaloupe, and that's trash. Cantaloupe is a trash fruit. Cantaloupe's gross.
No, on a nice summer's day, very refreshing. Not as refreshing as a watermelon.
Well, I could eat an entire watermelon, I think, in a sitting.
Weird thing about watermelon, things that are flavored like watermelon don't taste like a watermelon.
Sometimes they do.
No, watermelon just kind of has like a crisp, like, kind of little bit of sugary water taste, but all the flavored stuff has this like robust, like, really,
like a slush puppy, like a watermelon slush puppy. They overdo it a little bit, but it's still very good.
Watermelon's where it's at.
I had a watermelon sparkling water the other day, and it was actually pretty good. It wasn't too much, just enough.
Not a fan.
Yeah. Doesn't
I don't like any of the fruit flavored waters either.
Really?
I like water.
Yeah, well, hey, stay true to your.
Don't be messing with it.
Water's good.
No soda water, really. Not even like a flavor. Any what about like fruit punch? You like fruit punch?
A fruit punch.
You got to put some cucumber in your water, Dale. I'm telling you.
Oh, that's
change
nice.
Your life.
One of my favorite things about being at like a hotel is when they have the water in the thing and they always have it filled with fruit or with cucumbers or something. What
cucumbers
a real treat.
And lemon, maybe a little mint. You're
yes,
golden.
What an absolute treat that is.
At the risk of doing a free plug for someone who doesn't give me anything.
Here we go.
Just give me a bottle of plain old ordinary Poland Spring water. I'm good.
Yeah. Good water. Now, are you a room temp guy or you like it nice and cold?
I like it cold. Yeah. Prefer it cold. Just plain water. Don't like stuff in it.
Rossi likes his water room temp.
With cucumbers in it, apparently.
Yeah.
That's just a bonus, but I cannot drink cold water.
Psychopath, right?
Doesn't like cold water. Eight shades of wrong.
Hey,
with
can you
him.
Warm up that water? Not too hot though. But just warm it up a little bit.
It's like a glass of wine. I let it sit for a little while.
Here's a little peek behind the curtain about Jason Rossi. He asked the intern the other day to get him water, which I found to be a little crossing a line. Yeah. I mean, that's not really his job, but he had him get him water, and he was trying to be nice and put ice in his water, and Rossi threw it in his face.
Wow!
Came back,
he went
threw it
right
in his
at
face.
Him.
It was unbelievable. I go, what are you doing? He goes, this is too cold.
The intern
like,
went right locks. To HR.
Yeah, oh,
dripping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I was told I could do that. I could throw water at them.
That was unbelievable. I was like, geez, what a dark side.
Don't bring me cold water.
cold water. He's mad at the kid for bringing him cold water. Anyway,
I digress. Zdeno Chara talking about Tom Brady and the admiration he has for Brady, both obviously 42-year-old professional athletes, which puts them in a pretty exclusive club.
Right.
Chara is actually older of the two by, you know, some small amount.
Yeah.
He's the older of the two athletes. We've talked about this before. Brady is, in my opinion, the greatest who's ever played his position. I'll make an argument he's the best football player who's ever played. But what Zdeno Chara has to do is harder physically than what Tom Brady has to do.
Especially the way the NFL is set up with the quarterbacks now, and they're making it harder and harder to hit those guys.
Right.
Meanwhile, Chara's playing 20-plus minutes in, you know, playoff games. He's on the penalty kill and all that other stuff. Brady is closer to his best than Chara is. Like, Chara's not winning the Norris Trophy anymore.
No.
Whereas if Brady, and I know this year
won
he
won an MVP 2 years
ago. 2 years ago he won the MVP. So, and he was a Pro Bowler this year, whereas Chara's not going to be an All-Star. But it's still, yeah, it's more impressive. Like, what he's doing, the kind of shape that he is in is more impressive. That's another kind of crazy part of this. Back in 2011, so, you know, the Patriots are obviously are you know, really good still. The Bruins just won the cup. And if you said 8 years from now, Chara and Brady are both still going to be on these teams and they're still going to be competing for championships, you would have, like, that's insane.
I wouldn't have thought either would still
be. No, not early 40s. If you said, all right, you know.
And by the way, neither plans on giving it up anytime soon either.
No, they're both back. We know for sure for next year. It was crazy with Chara, too, is you would think a player that size might not be able to play forever. Because we've seen guys like Chris Chelios. We've seen guys, you know, play into their 40s.
Chelios even older, yeah.
You know, Yager still playing, I think, over in the KHL, isn't he?
You got a game?
he's ready to go. He might sign with the team this offseason. Who knows? So we've seen hockey players play, you know, long careers. But for Chara at that size to still be doing it at 42, going to be at 43 next season is outrageous.
There was a piece on ESPN that I think it may have come out yesterday, but I was reading it this morning. And the author of the piece talked with other players about Zdeno Chara. Started with Rod Brindamore, coach of Carolina.
Loves him.
But he said,
guy.
You know, he played against him,
yeah.
You know, respected what he did. And he talked to another guy who said he fought him once.
Oh, how's he doing? Is that guy okay?
He said, you know, he hit me once.
He just woke up.
Hit me a pretty good one.
Yeah.
He said he could have hit me with more.
But he didn't.
But there's a respect factor, and it's the thing that athletes talk about almost as much as anything else. You find it in the NFL with Brady, too.
Yeah.
Those who just flat out hate everything about the Patriots.
Right.
It's the respect of, he does it the right way.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when Superman gets into a fight with, like, a human. He's like, I could kill you, but I'm not going to. And that's what Chara kind of does. And he has, there's been times where guys have fought him, and he's, like, looking at him, and you can tell he's thinking, all right, I respect what you're doing. I know why you're doing this for your team.
But this is
I am going to have to hit you. You are throwing live rounds at me. I'm going to hit you. Please go down. Please go down so we can stop
this
madness.
Quickly.
Please, I don't. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And then he just goes to work. And all those guys that have fought him before, the ones that have survived to tell about it, they always say, you're just so far away from him. Like, he sticks the left hand out, holds you out like 6 feet away. You can't reach him, and then he's just throwing the right hands at you, and you know you're in trouble.
He will play, you know, big minutes again tonight. In my opinion,
of course,
he will. In my opinion, he will probably be matched up against the top line as he was in game one. They'll continue that. Now, what Bruce Cassidy did was he took his top line off the matchup,
mm-hmm.
but he left the defense pair out there.
Right.
Against Tarasenko and Shen. He wanted to continue with those guys out there, but he felt that the top line. And give Cassidy credit, man. He didn't even mess around. He said, well, you know, it was kind of a tough matchup for those guys, so I decided to get away from it. I mean, he's not killing them. He's not knocking them.
Well, and that's what's, again, you go back to the fourth line and how good those guys have been, too. Because they can even score for you. So it's not even just a defensive line. So they can score for you. And then you can free up your top line, try to get those guys going. But each line is all pretty good defensively, too. There's not one out there where you're like, oh, man, like they better score because you know they're giving up one. Like they don't have that line. So he can kind of play the matchups again tonight and try to get something going for those guys. And I also think the power play, which was not great last game, had the one goal, and it was really just McAvoy kind of skating in. Nobody picked him up, and he just rocketed one in for a goal.
It was part of the rust problem was the power play just awful
but
early
on. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they snap out of that. You know, if they get four chances tonight and they score two goals, I wouldn't be shocked at all because now that they've seen what St. Louis does and they really kind of bring everybody up and make it difficult to get into the their end. And so I think now that they're prepared for that, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a lot more success tonight.
And it'll be fun to watch the Chara matchup against the Tarasenko line, which is what I think you're going to get again. I don't think that Bruce Cassidy is of a mind to switch it off to the second defense pair, quote-unquote, you know, with Krug and Carlo. I don't think he's going to do that. I wouldn't be surprised if he continues to keep his top line away from them just because the matchup didn't work. And I'll be shocked if you don't see a very strong performance out of the top line by the Bruins tonight.
Yeah, that usually happens,
really
right?
good at responding to, really? We didn't play well? And they know. I mean,
they definitely do. I mean, they were each one of them was a minus two in the game until the empty net goal at the end. You know, and that was crazy to see them in the third period have a one-goal lead in the cup final, and those guys were a combined minus six. Like, that just shows you, again, just how good the depth is on this team. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all if those guys had a big game. And then at that point, where does St. Louis turn for answers? I mean, they need basically a power play to get Tarasenko going. I know he had the goal off that weird kind of rebound turnover by Pastrnak, but going into this series, I think six of his eight goals came on the power play or something like that. So that's kind of what they need to get going. But the Bruins' penalty kill has been so good.
All right, let's get to the call. 617-779-7937. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen.
Mike.
First of all, Rossi, not a psychopath. Cold water is great, but it's overrated because your body has to heat it to your body's core temperature before you thoroughly process it. So the ideal level of drinking water is 98.6 degrees.
He's a scientist.
Get out of here. Yeah, okay. What's your point?
Yeah. Well, apparently can't shut the windows in his car.
My God.
Now, listen, all right, Rich, you can bing that later. But so as far as tonight's game goes, I'm looking definitely for a defensive battle for sure. I think the Bruins obviously have the check mark as far as that's concerned. And I think it's smart if Bruce Cassidy continues to play that fourth line against their first line. As long as they can maintain their defense right there, I say the Bruins steamroll tonight and St. Louis doesn't figure it out until game three, just like I said yesterday. But I'm definitely looking forward to a big defensive matchup. And I really hope I see Krug lay another dude out because that was great.
That was great. How are they going to be able to one-up themselves from that?
They probably won't.
That was the play of the playoffs.
If the Bruins go on to win the Cup, that will be the iconic play of the entire playoff.
Yes. That's going to be when they release their Blu-ray of the Cup run, that'll be on a loop.
There are now gifts, there are memes, there are t-shirts. They've already got the t-shirt that Rich and I were looking at this morning in the office. It said "Fear the Flow."
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I guess I don't have a better one, but I feel like that's not going to get me to buy it.
Well, Rossi's pretty creative. He'll come up with that. Yeah, never mind. No, I wouldn't count on it.
Loomer.
No.
The nickname will be Loomer.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
No, I know what you're talking about.
By the way, Dice on Twitter had the best one. The Lutility Guy. Yeah, we can retire it right now. The Lutility Guy.
That's what
Berman will call him, 100%.
617-779-7937. Wiggy's in here at the top of the hour. It's Wednesdays with Wiggy. Mike Emmerich will join us at 1:30 today, the play-by-play voice for Hockey in America. I think he won his sixth straight Emmy this year. I think he's won seven of the last nine or some silly number. And that's not just hockey play-by-play. That's all the play-by-play announcers in America. He'll join us at 1:30, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
W-E-E-I.
Hey, they just showed Robert Kraft on the video board.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's some videos I guess he doesn't mind being a part of.
Oh! Ho, ho, burn!
Oh, Burns. 3-2 the score. 8:52 to go in the third. It was just two. That was slow hanging fruit.
We
that was
call
dangling
that
there, right?
A momentum changer. Let's see if the Blues can feed off it.
Only thing missing was hey-o.
Hey-o. The funniest thing he said was low hanging fruit.
Get it?
Hey-o. Oh, watch out. Those guys were just waiting for that. They were so excited. That was the Blues radio team when Robert Kraft was shown on the big screen in Game 1. Is he going to Game 2? Think Kraft's going to be back?
He'll be there.
Good luck, Charm.
My guess
Rossi
is...
Rossi's suggesting banner fan. He's going to be the fan banner captain.
I don't think he would accept that invitation.
Yes, he would.
I don't think he would.
You don't
would,
think he would?
No.
Oh, do you know something that I don't know?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I actually got tipped off the other day. On Monday, I got tipped off inadvertently.
Okay.
I was in the building working early. It was like 4:30 in the afternoon, and I'm working on my stuff and getting ready for our pregame show, and they were doing a rehearsal. They were doing a walkthrough for the whole thing, and they ran the whole video package that they used to introduce the fan banner captains, and I saw the eight names appear on the screen. It was the only reason I knew ahead
of
time.
Yeah. So we have no idea who it's going to be tonight. They're kind of run out.
They're pretty good at keeping secrets.
They are.
And it's not going to be Brady, I don't think. Unless Brady has got a disinformation campaign going. His Instagram stuff. He's golfing in California, apparently.
I can't think of anybody outside of Belichick, Brady, Ortiz.
Ortiz makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh?
Ooh, did you hear that? Dale says he makes a lot of sense.
Oh, no. I think Dale knows.
But anybody else at this point would kind of feel like a little bit of a letdown. Now, we never considered all those guys from the 11 team, but that was a good idea.
That was a real
– whoever
really
smart.
Thought that one up, that was good.
But unfortunately, like those guys aren't big enough names. Like if it was one of them, after going like from like Bobby Orr, right? Like you have like Julian Edelman and these guys. And then if you just had Rich Peverly, I feel like people would have been like, okay, great. Like you won the cup. But if you have eight of them, like that was pretty cool. So I like that one.
It's kind of a dilemma for the Bruins too.
It is. They've had a lot of games.
Well, you're sitting here and even beyond that, you're saying, no, let's save him for game five.
I don't know.
And then you go, well.
I think Robert
Kraft
makes
sense. Oh, let's save him for game seven.
Yeah. The guys from Bear Force One still haven't been invited, which I feel like is a swing and a miss.
We don't know that.
Oh, that's a good point. We don't know that.
Now. Oh, shake that thing!
They could play all their hits.
With Robert Kraft swinging
I want nothing more than these guys to perform during the intermission, skating around the Zamboni while they sing the song. That would be incredible.
And they're from Norway, right? So
they're from the Netherlands.
So yeah. They still must know how to skate, right?
I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah,
they're probably good at Muay Thai fighting. They're probably good at that.
It sort of sounds like a bit of a cliche that I think you're guilty of here, Shime.
Yeah,
it's probably true.
I mean, I'm from Massachusetts. Yeah. I can't skate.
I can't skate either.
I can skate barely.
Can you?
But I can.
Get you out there with the guys, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Have a skate.
I could be the additional mascot.
I like that very much. Shime's kind of a bear.
He absolutely is a bear. I'm a bear too. Listen,
a couple of bears in the other room. You guys could both be out there with the other bears skating around, singing
hefty,
this.
Hairy guys, we're good.
Get the crowd fired up. Nothing gets the crowd fired up.
Hefty, hairy guys.
than an ice full of bears.
Nothing says party like hefty, hairy guys.
Nothing. Just skating out there, just wearing nothing but a sweater. Just having a nice skate. I think that could be good. But anyway, who else could it be? I don't know. We'll have to stay tuned to find out.
I mean, they could theoretically go back to somebody.
They could.
I mean, Gronk was wildly successful.
Would be great.
Bobby Orr was unbelievable.
Bobby Orr would be a nice touch, especially against St. Louis. I mean, that makes a little bit of
sense.
That's
why they brought him back for the game closest to Mother's Day.
Right, exactly.
And I understand completely how they think these things through, but I'm thinking, have they got, we're going to keep this guy in the back pocket.
I don't know.
For game seven.
Because they could have three more home games. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to have to worry about that, but they could have three more. So who else do they have up their sleeve?
In answer to the question that I see on the text machine, no, I think there's virtually no chance of Tim Thomas.
I was going to say, Tim Thomas,
I understand why people ask. I mean, he was the hero of the last Stanley Cup championship.
Right.
If Tim Thomas was willing to come back and be part of it, he'd have been part of that group on Monday, I think.
Yeah, I think so. That would have been pretty good. But yeah, we have not seen him in a long time.
Literally.
Right, wasn't there, I think there might have been.
OMF tweeted out yesterday an aerial shot of his compound.
I don't know if I like that necessarily. That's invasion of privacy, isn't it? But he had like a nice pool. He had a lot of trees on the property.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to live in the middle of nowhere, that's fine. What's wrong with that? I don't think he wants people. I was surprised he didn't shoot that drone down that took the picture.
Could have.
Maybe he did.
If he was of a mind.
Maybe they took the picture.
Yeah, probably that picture was the last thing the drone ever sent back.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah, it's probably not going to be him. Although the crowd would go nuts if it was, I think.
Yes.
Even after, they would. They would love that.
Now, I will say there is one guy who I know is in town. If I was going to, and it's only a thought here.
Lil Nas X.
No, he's gone, I think. Okay. So yesterday, they did a special event at West End Johnny's.
Okay.
Honoring Willie O'Ree because of the release of, there's a new O'Ree documentary that's come out.
That would be a good one.
Now, he was in town for the event yesterday. Hall of Fame this year.
I think we've landed on it.
We might have surrounded.
Yeah, I like that.
The guy who could be the fan banner captain for tonight. It could be Willie O'Ree.
Pretty good.
617-779-7937. Or these guys,
too.
Or, you know.
Or they could just do the intermissions.
Couldn't we get them onto City Hall Plaza under the world's biggest tent?
Of course we could.
Couldn't we just do Willie O'Ree and Bear Force One?
Yes, of course you could.
We're not.
Of course you could.
He's not co-hosting with those guys.
No, that's true.
Wiggy's coming up next. Mike Emmerich at 1:30, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.